This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As you probably know, before we start an episode of the PowerCast, we chat. This gives the guests a chance to have a beverage, hopefully something that doesn't have any stimulants, except for caffeine, of course, and then maybe set up their mics. So we're talking with our guest this week, Robert Powell, who has a stellar reputation as a scientific UFO investigator. That's the only compliment he gets. I'm kidding. We're talking about the mobile phones we're using. And I mentioned, as most listeners know, I prefer to use Apple products. And one major reason is that, and this is a general comment, there are obvious exceptions. You turn the darn things on, they work. You don't have maybe quite the granular adjustments of an Android phone or a Windows computer compared to a Mac. On the other hand, the large majority of the adjustments set to their default settings are more than adequate to let you do your stuff without a lot of fuss or muss. You know, like turning off the phone so you don't hear it ringing when someone tries to call me. Usually the call is going to be spam anyway. Robert, do you get lots of spam calls?
Oh, I get at least six or seven, no, probably 15 spam calls a day, I would say.
That's about right. I'm looking at my record. I have something from AT&T called Call Protect that's supposed to warn you in the event of a spam call. So it sort of kind of helps. And then the other thing it does, and I'm not advertising AT&T because I'm not a huge fan of theirs, and that is they have something you pay for, which is their mobile security app. And the mobile security app is nice in the one sense that it gives you all sorts of extra features like a VPN if you connect, say, to another Wi-Fi network, say at your Starbucks or something. By the way, we just gave Starbucks a promotion. We'll send the bill to the head of Starbucks, the CEO, in about an hour. And you don't want to have somebody try to hack you as you're sitting there trying to establish a connection. I don't know where this started. Let me ask you, Robert, do you follow the crazy back and forths in the UFO field about whether people are legitimate or not?
You know, I probably used to follow it more than I do now. I would say that I guess I make my own opinions on who's legitimate and who's not, and then I don't really follow the gossip on the internet or anywhere.
Well, I'll give you an example of some kind of chatter. I know that we briefly tried to talk about this with Leslie Kane. Leslie Kane, of course, is one of the co-authors of that big New York Times piece. She's done several, and this is the one that started back in December of 2017. So we were talking about the stories, the contradictory stories, about the status of Luis Elizondo as head of this Pentagon study or just a member of the staff. And as a practical matter, probably doesn't matter in the scheme of things, but there was that. And then, do you know Nick Pope?
I've met Nick once.
Okay, it's closer to me. We've talked to him on the show several times, and he was on After the PowerCast once where he talked about his interest in conspiracy theories. In any case, there's an article now at Kevin Randall's A Different Perspective, actually two articles, about some kind of debate over what Nick Pope did with the Ministry of Defense in the UK. You know, because he presents himself as head of their UFO desk, and I guess the claim is that the desk at which he worked, where he was a receptionist, paper pusher kind of person, only did UFO cases as part of what his work was. He wasn't just sitting there doing UFOs. Secondly, that he didn't go out and investigate UFOs. If he came into something he thought should be passed on, he would contact, like, the Royal Air Force or something, the appropriate agency. Now, this doesn't mean he wasn't involved in UFOs, but maybe there's a tad of exaggeration if that's the case. What's your take about this, Robert, or do you care?
I really don't care a lot about all of that stuff. I mean, in Nick's case, I think Nick is more of a, I guess what I would just say, he likes to talk about UFOs a lot. I don't really think of Nick as an investigator of UFOs. And then, like Luis Elizondo, there was a huge amount of information about, okay, did he really work for ATIP, or did ATIP really investigate UFOs? Everyone, whenever I discussed this with them, I would just say, you know, what I really care about is, did that event happen on November 14th, 2004? I don't care about what exactly was Luis Elizondo's title and how did he get into that group. To me, the more important thing is the whole concept of the UFO phenomenon.
Well, the fact that he was part of it all is that. But the other thing is here, and this is the bigger issue, other than being involved, what has he contributed to the UFO field? Maybe he gives it a tad of credibility. But in terms of learning anything, have we learned anything from Luis Elizondo? No insult intended.
Right. In my view, the most value that he has contributed is he's really brought it to the attention not only of the wider public, but to the national media. He's gotten a lot of spotlight there. And more importantly, he's brought it to the attention of Congress. So I think his contribution has been very valuable in that area.
In the sense of basically getting the word out.
Right, and getting the word out. Now, to your point, I agree. Luis is not what I would consider someone who's, you know, extremely knowledgeable of the field, but he's done a great job of getting the word out and getting it before Congress. So I respect what he's done a lot.
So let me chime in here. So for our listeners,
let me ring the chimes here. I'm sorry we have no sound effects, folks. This is a low-budget radio show, so therefore we don't have chimes. Go ahead, Randy.
What, for our listeners, what we're talking about here is Nick Pope, who has become a pretty well-known kind of talking head in UFO culture. So we've got a document here that comes from what looks like the Directorate of Air Staff in the Ministry of Defense in Great Britain that says, Mr. Pope elected to describe his position as the head of the MOD's information UFO project, a term entirely of his own invention, and he has used his experience and information he gathered frequently by going beyond the official remit of his position to develop a parallel career as a pundit on the topic, including writing several books, some purportedly nonfiction. Mr. Pope constantly puts himself forward in various parts of the media, solicited and unsolicited, as an expert, despite his lack of recent knowledge about the work carried on in the branch concerned, and seeks credit among other aficionados for having forced MOD to reveal its secret files on the subject. The latter is far from the truth, and as we had begun publishing details of the most popular reports in the publication scheme prior to the advent of the Freedom of Information Act, Mr. Pope's activities have nevertheless resulted in the generation of considerable workload for the staff currently employed in the in responding to queries on this topic. Basically, that's it. There's more, but that's the gist of the thing. But we kind of already knew that, right? Didn't we, Gene?
Okay, so basically, Nick Pope was a paper pusher and receptionist. We call him an executive assistant now because we can't say secretary anymore, because even though he was a male, that has, what, sexist connotations? I'm not really sure. Robert Powell joining us, And he's way above this, as you'll see in a few moments as we continue to get past this. With Gene and with Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So before we get started on the serious stuff, we're engaged in kind of the usual back and forth that one encounters within the UFO field. Robert Powell joins us. And by the way, his bio indicates 28 years experience, maybe more now. Are you still with him? Advanced Micro Devices, which we all know is AMD.
actually, I was very fortunate in that I was able to retire early. I retired from AMD back in 2006.
And I bet they offered a hell of a pension plan.
It was a good deal. It wasn't a pension plan, but it was a good deal.
Now, of course, we know about Radeons. We know about Ryzen chips. I mean, AMD has become a real killer company. They used to be like a bad also-ran to Intel, but their latest network chips are just fabulous. What kind of work did you do for AMD?
I did a lot of different things at Advanced Micro Devices. I started off working on their flash product and what was called product engineering. And I did that for a number of years. And then I went into their quality group. So I was the manager in quality for a number of years. And then I also managed their state-of-the-art chemistry lab because I'm a chemist by trade. But maybe the funnest thing I did was I managed the research and development group there. And so I had a number of PhDs that were in my group that worked for me. And that's where I got the patents. And that's where I learned it's not so hard to get a patent. I used to think that was some magical thing. It's like, how do you get a patent? Oh, you must be a genius to get a patent. And I found out, no, as long as you've got a company and attorneys that will pay the $5,000 to get you the patent, you can get one.
Well, don't they normally look for patents just as for protection, even though the product may never, ever, ever actually be produced? But if you have a patent, therefore nobody else can try to produce something with that technology without paying you a check.
Right. You do that, and you also do it to protect your own products so that because there are people out there who create these very generic patents so that as soon as a corporation creates a product, they can go jump on it and say, hey, I already have a patent on there. You guys need to pay me a piece of the action. So it's important to have a patent just so you can protect yourself from those kind of things.
Well, protection, then. I know Apple files numerous patents for different technologies, but they don't have a folding iPhone. They do have technology for it. They have some really wacky stuff. And maybe 10 years from now, they will produce a product. But I don't know about patent laws, and this is not part of our discussion. Isn't it also important that when a company gets a patent, eventually they actually have to use it? If they don't use it, that's logical grounds for another company to attack that registration?
Well, I'm not a patent attorney either, but I can say that my understanding is that once your patent is approved, your company does not have to actually produce a product using that patent. But all patents will expire after 17 years.
So they have 17 years to make something, and it doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore we can look at the patents made in 2003. Okay, 17 years, right? Let's have at them and let's produce some stuff. Of course, who cares about the patents from 2003 anymore because of technology? Let me ask you a question here. Because you've been exposed to technology, looking at UFOs, what they are supposed to be able to do in terms of maneuverability, you would think they're still way, way beyond our technology, right?
I would say hundreds of years beyond.
Okay. So the kind of maneuverability they display, we're not going to do that in 2063 with the first warp drive from Zefram Cochran.
Yeah, right. Even Zefram Cochran, his, you know, that garbage can he put together and took off at warp speed, even his won't be able to maneuver like that.
And remember, he just did warp speed. He didn't do anything else. So he didn't have any phaser cannons. He didn't have any of the other features of maneuverability. He just did that one thing.
That was it.
Well, it was quite enough to alert the Vulcan. But seriously speaking, you think, therefore, that what UFOs are reputed to do today, we won't be able to do that until 2520 or later? Or in the year 2525, if man is still alive.
That's one of my, I really like that song from the 70s. You know, it's hard to say what we will or will not be able to do way out into 2525, but I don't see us being able to do anything like that in the next 100 to 200 years.
Well, let's talk a little bit too about the sort of the way that you look at the subject compared to a couple of other common groups. So, for example, you are also with the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. Now, that UAP on your site stands for Unidentified Aerospace Phenomena.
Correct.
Right. And then it says commonly known as unidentified flying objects, UFOs. And UFOs, of course, are pretty much, I mean, the definition of that is pretty much an alien craft of some kind. So then we're talking about, you know, we don't know if it's necessarily interstellar, but I mean, if you put UFO into a search engine, you'll just get pages and pages and pages of spaceships. And then you'll get a few people who will say, well, no, it's just a generic, like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Well, we don't know what it is. It could be a vague light off in the distance. But if you really look back to the United States Air Force definition, it's anything but a vague light off in the distance. It leaves no room for anything but something truly extraordinary. But then you've got organizations like NARCAP, and they have a different definition. They call, also use UAP, but they call it unidentified aerial phenomenon. Then they have this a little bit of a long-winded definition that parallels the definition that QFOs had, where it's basically, they don't say it's necessarily a ship or a craft. It's just some, again, it could just some, could be some vague light off in the distance, but it's supposed to be better studied than that and observed by people who are somewhat credible and should know the difference between something mundane and something that's not, but it still might be, say, some sort of, you know, unknown bird or an atmospheric phenomenon that nobody's ever heard of before. Whereas in ufology and the people who are studying that, like Stanton Friedman, for example, he just says flying saucers.
Let's do our break, folks. More to come with Robert Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States continues to see rising coronavirus cases across the country, setting a new single-day record on Friday for new cases. Another 227,000 new cases were reported yesterday, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. 2,011 Americans died of the disease Friday as well. The case spike comes as a vaccine against the virus may be days away from FDA approval. Glenn DeShields was part of the trial study for the Pfizer vaccine, which is up for an emergency use approval next week. He tells Fox News about the side effects he experienced after getting the vaccine.
I've never really had a reaction to a vaccine before, and I did have a reaction to this one. I had headaches and fatigue were the big thing. I didn't take, you know, any kind of like aspirin or ibuprofen on the first shot. The second shot I did, and I didn't basically, it muted all the effects.
This is USA Radio News. Doctors in Connecticut are asking for tighter coronavirus restrictions as healthcare systems are being overwhelmed by COVID patients. Kenneth Burns has the story from the USA Radio News East Coast Bureau.
Doctors in Connecticut asked their governor, Ned Lamont, to shut down indoor dining and gyms to stop the spread of the coronavirus. That letter was spearheaded by Dr. Luke Davis, a critical care physician at Yale New Haven Hospital. He told CBS News that he and other hospital staff are getting tired.
It's very difficult disease, and the thing that makes the biggest difference is just not having the hospitals be overloaded, having enough staff to take care of people.
Nearly 700 people signed an online version of the letter.
And starting Sunday, two regions of California will fall under a stay-at-home order. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced earlier this week that regions of the Golden State would fall under that order when the area's ICU capacity fell below a certain threshold. The State Department of Public Health announced Saturday that the Southern California and San Joaquin Valley regions had crossed that threshold and would be under the three-week order. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, you want to pick up on what you were talking about?
Just before the break, we were talking about the different versions of what we're talking about here, and we had just gotten to the version of UFO by researchers like our dearly departed Stanton Friedman, who would just say, look, I'm not an apologist ufologist. We're talking about flying saucers. We're talking about alien craft, probably interstellar, technical, and visiting us here on Earth. Where do you stand on that map of versions when it comes to using the term UAP or UFO?
We actually had a long debate on the term we should use when the SCU was created in September of 2017. We ditched the word UFO simply because there's too much of a connotation with that word and little green or gray aliens inside the ship and all the craziness that goes with it. We wanted to stay away from the craziness. We decided to go the same way the Navy went, which was to call it unidentified aerospace phenomena. We went with aerospace instead of aerial because aerospace indicates it can be in the ocean, in the air, or in space. We had the same debate you just mentioned.
The thing is like on the SCU site, it says commonly known as unidentified flying objects or UFOs. So really for you then, it sounds like a synonym for UFOs, which, you know, everybody just goes, okay, we're talking about aliens. NARCAP is like, no, not necessarily. UFOs are some subset of the thing, you know, and in both cases, it seems like there's this idea that the organizations wanted to distance themselves from the idea
the very idea of UFOs being some kind of an alien craft because they didn't want to be thought of as unscientific or jumping to conclusions.
I think that is caused really by the how the media portrays the whole subject. They want a picture of a little gray alien getting ready to abduct someone. That's what they want to hear. And so from a scientific viewpoint, my view is the only thing I know for certain is that UAPs, UFOs, whatever you want to call them, physically exist, and they're controlled by an intelligence. And they're not manufactured by one of the nations on this earth. And other than that, I can't say where they come from. I can't even say absolutely they're off-world, right? Because we don't really know. I've never captured one.
That's pretty much the same view as this, you know, a standard ufologist or like Friedman would take almost. Friedman was very much a proponent of the interstellar hypothesis or something off-world, generally speaking, is where Stan would have gone with that. But I am more leaning towards what you're talking about there, Robert, where you're saying, well, okay, it might be something earthly, but being from beyond the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization, you know, that really does make it alien. And if we're talking about some sort of constructed craft, well, we're talking about alien craft. So I'm with you on that. I believe that maybe some of the phenomena out there that people have observed might not be alien craft. But I'm not so sure that that's what we're really interested in. I think what, at least what ufologists are interested in mainly is the core idea of we've got some kind of alien craft visiting us from who knows where. How does it work? Where is it from? Why are they here? How did it get constructed? How does it work? That sort of thing. As opposed to say, oh, it's a different kind of cloud that's, you know, really up high in the atmosphere that gets electrically charged once in a while and gives off a strange glow. I mean, that's interesting and it's related, but it's not the core subject matter.
Right. I agree with you on that.
You've also recently released a book about this, then, explaining some of this to young people, called The Truth About UFOs by Robert Powell. And I'd really like to go through some of the cases and what inspired you to write this book.
I just released this book only 1 to 2 weeks ago. It makes a great Christmas gift for a kid. And the age group is 7 to 12. I never really intended to write this book, but I was babysitting my grandkids back in January of this year. And the middle child, he was 8 years old, he had this book on UFOs that he had checked out of the school library. And so I said, Gavin, what do you have there? And he said, oh, I want to learn about UFOs. And I said, let me take a look at that book. So I open it up, and this book is full of what I consider non-facts, and it's full of pictures of gray aliens and stories stated as fact, you know, that these things are out abducting people and all these horrible things they do to people. And I'm like, oh, I cannot imagine a more horrifying book for a young kid to read. And so I said, Gavin, I said, this book's not true. I want you to take it back to the library, and I don't want you to read this. And I could tell he was a little disappointed, and I said, I'll tell you what. I will write you a book that tells you the truth about UFOs. And so that's why I wrote this book, The Truth About UFOs.
For 8 years old, you know, that is an interesting inspiration because it makes it so personal. It's not just writing it for young people, but something really personal to you. Now, just parenthetically, I started in the UFO thing when I was 11, and I read in a book for adults, Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Kehoe. But then again, his way of writing was based on the style of a mystery pulp writer, so it came through pretty quick, pretty smooth.
Yeah, I haven't read Kehoe's book. What got me interested in the topic actually was J. Allen Hynek's book, The UFO Experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where we got Close Encounters from, and the various categories, right? That's from QFOS. They came up with Close Encounters of the first, second, third, and even the fourth kind, and even later the fifth kind, which, you know, Stephen Greer kind of co-opted that with his own thing. Yeah, I mean, that's the classic stuff, as well as Kehoe. But your book is more oriented towards kids or young people who just want to get an overview and a feel for the subject, but like you were saying, not to alarm their parents if they happen to be particularly younger children, because like you were saying, some of the stuff about UFOs can be pretty scary.
Oh yeah, especially for an impressionable child to hear that there are things that can just come into your room and take you away, and there's nothing, you know, mommy and daddy can do to help you. I mean, can you imagine anything worse for a kid to read?
Actually, my younger brother and I, I was really into UFOs, so I would get my hands on anything I could, and my parents didn't seem to care. And there was a title called UFOs Are Hostile. There was a story in there about the Lemon family incident, and where they had a very, it was just like something out of sort of almost like a horror sci-fi movie, and we used to read it and just to scare ourselves as kids at night. So, you know, it went through a lot of things where, you know, UFOs had shot beams of light, blinded people, burnt people. It went through spontaneous human combustion, and there was some, this was a little bit before the abduction, I almost am tempted to use the word craze or fad or something started, but I mean, it even that was a little bit in there, you know, missing time and stuff.
Yes. The other thing I try to do in the book is I give it a little science flavor to the book, because my grandson likes science, and so I explain about flying saucers and UFOs, and I explain it in a way that a child of that age can think about it, you know.
Hey, I got to do a break here. We're running over. More to come with Robert, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
More with Robert, Jean, and Randall on the Paracast this week. Robert, go ahead.
So I wrote this book with a little bit of a science flavor to it, especially for kids in that young age group that are becoming very curious and kind of deciding if they're going to go into a scientific field or not. So I explained to them a little bit about what are facts versus what's a hypothesis versus what is a theory. And I give them examples kids can understand, like, if you wanted to determine, do earthworms like the shade or the sunshine, right, you could do a little experiment and set up your earthworms in a box and at the end of the day, see if the earthworms were on the sunny side of the box or the shady side of the box. And that's a way to test your hypothesis. So this is how I explain to them how you test your hypothesis. So I give them a little bit of a flavor of that, but not getting very deep into those type subjects. And then after that, I give them examples of UFO cases from the past. And I try to use examples that, one, I consider them, you know, very good cases. And two, hopefully they have a few pictures because kids love pictures. I keep it for each case. I keep it between 3 and 5 pages. I try to make it interactive and interesting for the kids. So, you know, they're not just reading a case. Here's one. I'll give you an example. The McMinn case.
Yeah, sure. Actually, do you have your book next to you right there?
Yeah.
How about just read us a couple of paragraphs? And this is for young people, say tweens, or maybe ages 8 to... you know, and into their teens kind of thing. How about reading us? Just read us a couple of paragraphs right out of the book.
The sun had already set when Mr. and Mrs. Trent turned into the driveway of their farm in rural Oregon. It was May 11th, 1950, and Mrs. Trent had been doing work in the yard, and she had a little folding camera in her lap that she used to take some family pictures earlier in the afternoon. Cameras were much different in 1950 than they are today. They weren't electronic, and you could not instantly see the picture that you had taken. you had to remove a photographic film from the back of the camera, mail it to a company that would turn your film into a picture, and wait several days before your pictures came back. Here is a picture of what Mrs. Trent's camera looked like. Isn't it strange? Ask your grandparents how one of these cameras worked, and they will probably enjoy telling you some stories. From there, I go in and I describe the incident of what happened when they took a picture of the flying saucer.
Well, I'm going to say this before you go on. I enjoyed that because you're teaching the reader not just what happened, but about how we were then in terms of technology. So they understood the environment in which these people existed when this photo was taken.
Right. And that's a very good point, because in history, you really have to understand it at the time the event occurred and not in modern times.
I think that's a lack of history books, because I don't remember a lot of teachers doing that when I was a kid, putting me in the place where these things happen.
Yeah, you know, it was the same for me when I was a kid. I hated history. I was like, oh, that's the class where I have to memorize things. And that's how I saw history.
But you turned it into a story, but a story I think that wouldn't just appeal to a younger age. I think even teenagers would find this enjoyable, because how many people 15, 16 years old even understand that perspective unless you portray it for them?
Exactly. And so that's kind of what I try to do throughout the book when I tell each story. You know, the case of the Tehran UFO, like I throw in there, you probably heard of Iran, that they're our enemy. And then I say in the book, I said, but, you know, in 1976, they were our good friend.
Right.
They learn a lesson there about the crazy way politics works. Like the Germans were our enemies in World War II, but now our best friends, or until somebody tried to change that.
Exactly. So it's, I guess as we get older, we've lived some of that history, so we know what the history is. And then to see a generation that doesn't really know what that history is, it's, I guess, kind of appalling sometimes.
In any case here, do you try to draw a conclusion in the book, or is it mostly to acquaint the younger folk with the things that have happened?
I tell the story, and then in the last paragraph, I don't go to a conclusion. I try to get them to think about it. So, like, here's the way that story ends. It says, do you think that Mr. and Mrs. Trent might have thrown something into the air to make it look like a UFO? All of the people that knew the Trents said that they were very honest people and would not create a hoax. It has been 70 years since the Trents took the photo, and still no one knows for certain if that is a real photo of a UFO or not. So I try not to do absolutes. And I say this in the preface of the book. I try to teach kids that life is really shades of gray. Things aren't always, you know, absolutes. We never know for certain one way or the other on things.
You know, having raised that, you bring out a point here, too, that a lot of books I've read about UFOs try to paint themselves into a corner about what UFOs are about and what they are, and draw a conclusion. But the other thing about it that's interesting is we're talking about many moons ago, a really, really good picture of a UFO. How many good UFO photos have there been in the last 25, 30 years that are even comparable?
Not many.
And isn't that interesting, because this is the big discussion we wonder about here. And we were talking about mobile devices before. Basically, hundreds of millions of people have a really good camera in their pocket. Many of those cameras are almost as good as professional cameras or even used to make movies. But we still don't have any better UFO pictures.
Well, one thing that has changed is in the 1950s and 40s, there were a lot more daytime UFO sightings. Today, there don't seem to be near as many daytime sightings. And at nighttime, I don't know if you tried to go out and film the stars with, you know, your cell phone camera, but it's not a very effective tool at filming at night.
And even the cameras that have a night mode that artificially change the background, distant objects are not necessarily going to be really that much better. It's still going to be lights in the sky. But I agree with you there. Fewer daytime sightings, is that a choice on the part of the force behind UFOs? Why?
You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's like, well, why are there fewer daytime sightings? And I don't have an answer for that, but other than that is a fact.
But, you know, you raise a point there. Partly, of course, it may just be our social habits. Nowadays, people don't look up. They look down at their mobile device. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I saw anyone looking up at anything. Nowadays, they either look straight ahead or they look down. They look down at their iPhone. They look down at their Samsung. They don't look up. And maybe it's not so much that there are fewer things to be seen up there. It's that we have fewer witnesses who care to check.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I notice that most people never look up at the sky. And if you look at case reports, your case reports usually come from smaller cities where people have a little bit more tendency to do so. But now the larger cities, well, for one thing, there's not much to see in the sky because of all the light pollution. So you're only going to see maybe, depending on the city you're living in, maybe as few as just half a dozen stars that you can see in the night sky.
Robert Powell joins us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.